Kerbos say good vach, hope all is good. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Samach Vav, and we have a tremendous schus to start the sixth perek, sort of. Very interesting Tosos. Tosos actually points out, top Tosos in the perek, says that Rashi flip-flopped the sixth and seventh perek, and then actually Rashi has Hamadir, which is the seventh perek in our text, as the sixth perek, but okay, either way, let's say it's in our versions, it certainly is the sixth perek. And it says like this: Metzias Aisha Maisi Adel LeBayla, that a woman finds something, and obviously the work that she does, that goes to her husband, as we've already discussed. Right, in exchange, not exchange, but he gets her Maisi Adel. She gets supported by him, right, for taking care of her. Yerushasa. What about the Yerusha? Now Rashi has two days over here. Let's go with the first one. Gotosos like the first one. What do you mean if Yerushasa? Im nafala Yerusha, if she inherited some, right? Her parents, Rachman Aslan, passed away, left her property. So, hu ochal peros bechaya, and vakarin shalah. So, I'm just reading in Rashi in a second. I guess the Mishnah has the same line, but just staying in Rashi, he gets the peros of, let's say, that field, and then she keeps the actual, she owns the actual field itself. So, that's what we're going to say. Rashi is another lashon if you want to look at it. But v'yirushasa, right? Who ochal peros bechaya? Right back in the Mishnah, right? The husband gets the peros, gets the produce from that field, and she owns the actual field itself. Boshto pagama. Let's say she is damaged by someone, and there are five payments that you make when you damage somebody, or you punch somebody in the nose, whatever. You pay five payments. Two of them are boshas, embarrassment, and pagam, and damaging, and meaning the fact that she is now worth less on the open market if she'd be sold, and she's not going to be sold, but if she would be sold, right, or her value would be on the open market. So those two payments, shalah, the Mishnah says, Tanakhama says they go to her, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir Omer, he says no. Bizman shevet seiser, if it's in private, and Tosfos explains that, meaning that she was damaged in a place where people don't normally see. So lashne chalakim velo echad. She gets two thirds and he gets a third. It was mentioned, but galuli, if it's out on, let's say, on her face where people can see. So lashne chalakim velo echad. Then he gets two thirds and she gets one third. Shalo yinasein miyad. His portion, whatever you're paying, right, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir, whatever you're paying to the husband gets paid right away. V'shalah, and her portion, so yilakach mem karkavu ochal peros, the person who damaged her has to buy a piece of land, and then she owns the land again, and the husband is entitled to whatever produce comes out of that. So the Gemara just says quickly, right, again, we've discussed this before, the Masechta, so my kamash malan, right, what are you teaching me that the mitzios and the maisei adah of a woman go to her husband, right, that we tell you no, right, so hav zaka bebido, b'kithushev, b'kesev shnar b'biya, when a father is allowed to marry your daughter off, zaka b'mitziyasa, maisei adah, right, she's zoka to whatever she finds, and her maisei adah, and whatever she produces, or her job, from her job, u'b'far's nadareya, he can get rid of her vows, her nedarim, mekabel is gita, he can accept her get, v'enio ochel peres bechaya, and he doesn't eat fruit of her, let's say if she owns karka for whatever reason, right, so he doesn't get the peros of her stuff, of her land or whatever. And nises, and once she gets married, yes, Allah habal shu ochel peros bechaya. And once she gets married, the husband gets one more thing than all the things we just listed. He also is able to enjoy the produce, the benefits, the profits of her property. And basically, what that's meaning that the husband gets all the stuff we just listed, including mitzios and maaseh adah. So we learned already, right, that the husband gets that type of stuff. That was already a couple weeks ago. So Gemara says, you're right. Boshto pagama itzir chle. Really, the chiddush of the Mishnah here is the boshto and pagama. Machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir. Plugged the Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir verabbanan. Okay, that's what we're trying to teach over here in Echinami, that first line is not a chiddush. Tani Tana kamei de Rava. Tana taught in front of Rava. Metzios aisha la'atzma and Rabbi Kiva omer labayla. That a woman actually gets her metzios, right? Rabbi Kiva says they go to her husband. So the Gemara says Amalei. So Rabbi said back there, right? Hashu maha dafa de maaseh adah. Right, again, if you're telling me, right, one second, right, it doesn't make sense that Rabbi Kiva would say that the husband gets the metzios, because we learned that if a woman makes more than the maaseh adah, right, there's a maaseh adah, right, that goes to the husband, and then more than that, right, v'shayach lemeimer sheyehei shalo de maaseh adah takas mizonos, right, the corresponding to the amount of money that he gets supported, right, he is supported the amount of money that he pays to support her, right? He then gets her masiyada, but there's something called hadafa, that if she makes more, we discussed that if she makes more, then she gets to keep it, right? The masiyada, Amar Rabbi Kiva la'atzma, right? Certainly, if Rabbi Kiva is going to say that she gets the extra masiyada that she makes, so mitziyas ala kol shekein, certainly, right? She should keep. Anything that she finds. Again, why does that make any sense? She didn't put in any effort for the mitzvah. We'll talk about it in a second. But basically, the logic is as follows. I mean, if you're telling me that ma'aseh yadeh go to the husband, right? So any extra ma'aseh yadeh, you could think about it. You could clarify, oh, maybe it should be hers, maybe it should be his. But ma'aseh yadeh go to the husband, that's a general rule. If Rabbi Kiva said that ma'aseh yadeh, that something that you might have thought goes to the husband, does not go to the husband, so mitzvah, so what does that do with anything? What is the mitzvah? It's not shaykh to the husband whatsoever. So certainly, Rabbi Kiva would say, that she gets the mitzvahs. That's not because we're in the Mishnah. Konem shani osa lepicha. Right? If a woman says, I mean, how do you know that Rabbi Kiva holds like this? We have a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah towards the end of Nedarim. Yes, Samach. Where is that? Nedarim. Why can't I don't have it over here? Okay, it's definitely Nedarim. I'm not sure. Okay, whatever. Oh yeah, that's at the end. Sorry, pay him Amud Aleph. Is that the konam ani oseh leficha? Right, if the wife says konam is a language of a shvua, right? If she says anything that she makes is usher to him, so ein tzarich lahafer. The husband doesn't even need to annul that because it's against. Right, the halacha. But Rabbi Kiva Omer, no, Yofer, he should get rid of that vow, that he should get rid of that neder, because Shema Tadifa love Yosemin Aroilo, because maybe she'll make extra, more money, right, that's more than that's shaykh to him. Right, so we see that Rabbi Kiva holds that she gets, right, the extra money that she makes. Uh-huh. So Ella, rather, Gemara says, you're right, Epoch. So reverse it, right, and Metzias Aisha, the Baal, Rabbi Kiva Omer La'atzma, no, that the Tanakama holds that the husband gets the Metzias, and Rabbi Kiva is the one who holds that she gets. To keep it. I have Kiyasa Ravin, but when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bahadafa, Shalo Yehe, Shalo Aydeh Tchakuli Amalu Pligi de Baal Have. One second, but Ravin said that, according to that Rabbi Yochanan said, that any Hadafa, any extra money that she makes, that Shalo Aydeh Tchak, which is without any extra effort, meaning let's say she gets, I don't know, there's not a halachal maisa, but let's say she gets a bonus from her work, right? She didn't do any extra work, she's working 9 to 5. But then at the end of the year, she gets a bonus. So that, for sure, everybody agrees. Right? Kuli amalu pligi about that goes to the husband. Ki pligi, the machokes is, b'hadafa shali de'etchak, that when she puts in more extra effort, she takes another job, or whatever it is. So that's tanakam asavar l'bailav, Rabbi Kiva asavar l'atzman. That's only there, Rabbi Kiva holds, that it's it goes to her. So why would you equate a metziah to something that, I mean, a metziah, clearly the Gemara is assuming, is something that she doesn't put any effort into. She's walking along the street, she finds a dollar bill. So that should be like a bonus that she gets without even putting in any effort. And everybody agrees that it goes to the husband. So Rav Papa says, no, metziah that a metziah is through effort, that you get it, you find a metziah through, as Rashi says over here, right? Where is that, Rashi? Right, derov mitzios tzarech lachzor achareim. I mean, most of the mitzios that are worth anything, people don't just drop stuff that's worth something, right, on the side of the road. You go dugim shenishru beyavasha, maybe fish that got washed up on the side, or tzvi shavor, or a broken deer, olachapes sima bakarka. Right, to go keep on looking for things, or some sort of buried treasure, right? There's some sort of effort that the person has to have, and therefore that's why it's shaykh to this machlokes, and that's why Rabbi Kiva can say, right, that it should be shaykh to her because she put in the extra effort. By Rav Papa asked, "Asur lo shtayim vazagas mahu?" By Ravina, "Shlosha arba vazagas mahu?" What about if she works 2, 3, 4 jobs at a time? Right, a woman can Baruch Hashem multitask. So the Gemara says, "Teku." Right, we don't know. Right, we're not going to resolve that shaykh. Okay, fine. 2 dots. Bosh to Begama, right? We said the Bosh to Begama. We said that's Machoges Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So Masgidla Rava Bar Rav Chana. Right? If you tell me, again, the whole concept of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the whole thing is based on is that if the woman gets damaged and embarrassed, so the husband is shayich to that embarrassment and he gets a payment. So Gemara is going to say, how far do we extend that? Right? If you're going to damage one person and embarrass someone else, right? How far do you extend that? If it's a wife to husband, maybe it should be, the Gemara's going to ask right now, a horse to husband, clothing, right? Meaning, if the guy's embarrassed by it, so maybe you have to pay him in many different cases. So that's what Gemara says. Maskevel Rav Bar Rav Chana. And Elmi Ata, if you tell me that you damage one person, you have to pay another. So, Baish Susas Sosho Chaber Rav Chana, Mi Debray Lamei San Lei. Boshas. Well, if you embarrass somebody's horse, maybe the guy's going to be embarrassed, but a horse is going around with a, I don't know, with a brand or something, with some sort of mark. Skomar says, no, nah, Suspar, Boshasu, what do you mean? the whole concept of paying the money to the husband is that you embarrass the woman. But you don't, I mean, and therefore you pay a payment to the woman, and part of that goes to the husband. But the horse doesn't get a payment of Boshes. Right? The horse, you don't pay a horse for embarrassing it. You know, there's no monetary payment called Boshes that goes to a horse. So there's no shaykhs that the owner should get this money. So Ella Gemara says, okay, fine. So if you're not property, but what about what's on the guy himself? Maybe if you spit on the guy's actual clothing, how can I be the by the mason lay boshes? Right, and that should also you have to pay the guy embarrassment. How can I mean, if you'll tell me that you do, that's not true. But tonight with other mishnah, rakak ve'agia boharog ufara rosh, rakak ve'agia boharog. Person spat at someone else and it landed on him. Right, or ufara rosh aisha, or he took off a woman's head covering. Ve'evri talisa mimenu, or he took a person's clothing off of him in the middle of you know, in public. Chayv litin lo arba me'azuz. Right, that's 400 beans. If Amar Papa, Rav Papa says lo shano elabo, and that's only if it landed on him. Well, the big dope, if you spat on him, on his clothing, potter. So you see, but according to this, right, if you spit on the guy, even if it's on his clothing, right, you should extend the embarrassment to the guy who's wearing it. Skomar says, no, but big dope, let's say Zilusa. The guy's not embarrassed. He has a little bit of spit on his shoulder. Maybe he has a kid. The kid spat up on him. Okay, that's not so embarrassing. But Ishto, if you damage someone finds out that this person's wife was hit, assaulted, you know, smacked, or whatever. So sure enough, that's Islay Zilusa. Should be Islay, right? Yeah, Islay Zilusa. So Amar Le Ravina Le Ravashi. So Ravina says Ravashi, okay, one step further. Alamiata Baish Ani Bentovim Islay Zilusa Lakulu Bnei Mishpacha Hachinami Debay Lameisan Lehu. Well, what if, right, you have people who are very, I don't know why it has to be specifically wealthy, but let's say there's a poor person from a wealthy family, and you mess up this poor guy, right? You kind of smack around this beggar, and the whole family's embarrassed. You also have to pay everybody. So the Gemara says, I'm really, no, Hasam of Gufayu, but that's not shaykh to them, right? They're not shaykh to them. Right, what about a wife of a husband? Right, so hacha ishto gufa havei. Right, ishto kigufo. Right, the guy himself is embarrassed. But if you have a family and one guy's a schlub, okay, so everybody, you're not damaging them per se. Could be reputation, fine, but it's not the person himself. But when a person's wife gets damaged, she gets embarrassed or whatever, that's ishto kigufo. That guy himself, right, has been damaged. That's why the money goes to him. Okay. Now, opposing Mars lechosno, if a person decides to give money to his son-in-law, meaning that, as commonly called a dowry, right, written in the ksuba, but let's say extra money on top of the ksuba, right, the father-in-law wants to, you know, splurge on the son-in-law, and Rachman al-Tzlan meis chosno, and he dies. And now, right, the girl's going to marry the guy's brother. So, Amr chachamim yachulhu sheyomar lechicha his yirotze litein lecha yiyash litein. So the father-in-law can say, listen, I liked your brother, but I'm not so down with you, so he's not... I'm not interested right, in supporting and in giving that type of dowry above and beyond the ksuba, right, and he can pull out of that. Okay, now Mishnah almost like switch gears here midstream. Basically, the din is that if a girl brings in stuff into the marriage, right, so the husband, right, is obviously gets to use that stuff while they're married, gets the produce from a field, for example, or the profits from a business, whatever it is. Again, not halacha l'maisa, but again, in pashtus, right, he gets, let's say, a field, an orchard of apples, so he gets to use the apples even though the wife owns it. But written into the ksuba is that if they get divorced or he dies, so he has to pay it back. Right, he has to pay back the property or the stuff, right, that the wife brought into the marriage. So the Mishnah says over here, we're going to differentiate in terms of how much he owes back, depending on whether she brought in cash or property. And so let's just read the Mishnah. Let's say the girl's like, I'm bringing in $1,000 in cash. So who posted connect on Chamesh Esrei Emana? Right, he writes, right, in the Ksuba, he promises to pay back 1,500. let's say dollars or dinars, here it is, obviously an extra 50%. And this is, again, because basically what we assume is that, as Rashi says over here, that the cash that's brought in, right, you can do business with cash, right, to make money, need to have money, right, so again, we assume, right, that, you know, that the husband is going to be able to do business, make some sort of profit on it, so that's the stipulation, he pays back an extra 50%. But can I get shum, but can I get an if you have an evaluation, meaning you have property, you have stuff, so who pose a poches chomesh? He actually has to pay back 1/5 less, which is actually, if I'm not mistaken, 25% less. No, I'm sorry, 20% less. 20% less. This is, okay, yeah, 20% less. So shum b'mana v'shavimana. But if it was evaluated, if the, meaning, okay, so if he says, meaning if it's written in the ksuba that she's bringing in a mana, which 100, so he has to pay back, let's say, 80. But shum b'mana v'shavimana, but if they didn't actually evaluate it until afterwards, right? And it was actually a mana, so they in lo el mana, so then he doesn't have to. Meaning that then he doesn't have to. Meaning basically what happened was that she told him, right, that she you should write a mana, right, implying that it would be 125, right, that the value would be 125. Then it turned out that the value was actually 100, right. So then he still has to pay back 100, right? He can't claim, oh, now I owe you 80, right? Okay, that's fine. Shum b'mana, but let's say, meaning it was there was an evaluation for 100, and he no senes shloshim ve'echad sela v'dinar, and then she has to, meaning, and let's say she tells him to write it's 100, right, in the ksuba, so she has to give, right, 125, really it's 1 1/4, right, 1 1/4 mana. Rabbi Meos, right, if it's 400, so he no senes chamesh meos, right, the 400, 500, really, again, that's how it has to work. If he writes, if they write 400 dinars or dollars in the ksuba, so then he has to give, or she has to give rather, right? She has to bring in, that means she's bringing in 500. Right? Again, just according to the math that we did before, right? If it's cash, it's 50% extra, and if it's property or stuff, right, then it's 20% less. Right? Masha chazan posei, who posei, parchos chamesh, right? Again, we said that's the math as explain to the Mishnah. Obviously, the Mishnah will have to explain. The Gemara will have to explain why do you give me a couple of cases of that? Right? You could have just told me the math. Okay, either way. Tana Rabbanan. We learned the Rabbanan again. The first halakha we learned in the Mishnah, father-in-law doesn't have to necessarily put the dowry onto the yavam. Right? Rachman al-Tzlan, if it's a situation where the prospective son-in-law dies. So the Gemara says, "Ein tzarich lomar rishon tam lechacham v'sheni am haaretz." That you don't even have to tell me that if the first husband who died was a tam lechacham and the second guy is an am haaretz, that the father-in-law can pull out. Meaning, ella rather yafilu rishon am haaretz v'sheni tam lechacham. Even if it was the other way around, right? Yachol amar could say lachicha haitzi rotein rotzet litein lacha efshe litein, right? I could have said, the father-in-law still can say, I wanted to give it to him. Right? He was going to be a poor guy. He was going to be a schlub. Wanted to help him out. But you're a talmid chacham. You'll be fine. Right? So you could say, right, it's the schus is the father-in-law's to give the money or not. Okay, paskal ha'achnes le'elef dinar. Again, the whole math that we did in the Mishnah. Right, hainu ratio. Again, you don't need to give all these examples. Right, that's the ratio. The ratio said that it's 50% more for cash and 20% less for property and stuff. So what do you have to give me all the math for? So Tana Shuma Rabba V'Katani Shuma Zuta Tani Shuma Didei V'Katani Shuma Didah. Right, so the Mishnah simply gave all the cases that it applies in every scenario. If it's a lot of money, if it's a small amount of money, if he did the evaluation of the property in the ksuba and out of the ksuba, okay, right, the Mishnah just basically gave, right, all the possible permutations. Okay, paskal hachnis no ksafim. If the girl in the Mishnah says now promised she would bring in cash, right? Sela nasa shisha dinarim. Her sela becomes 6. Right, if it's like you said before, again, this is also more math. Her sela, which is 4 dinar, is 6 dinar. Right, it's again an extra 50%. Right? Her four dollars, right, it becomes $6. That's what he has to pay back. That's an extra 50%. Hachasam mekabo alav asar dinarim lekupa. The mano umana, that the husband accepts 10 dinars for each kupa. This is now 10 dinars for every mana that she brings, right? For every, the mana is 100 dinar. So 10% of all the money that she brings, he has to give her 10 dinar for the kupa. The kupa, we'll explain, I'll just ruin it for you, is some form of cosmetics, some for either perfume. And Tosus is going to say not exactly perfume, but okay, fine. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Hakol, Kemenag Medina says no, 10%. Doesn't mean 10% of all the cash she brings in. It's not a fixed rule. It's all according to the Minhagim. So the Gemara says, okay, Hainu Posik, Kenegdan, Chamishazar, Mane. So I mean, that's exactly what we just, I mean, the Gemara just points out that, the four to six is the same as 100 to 150 or 1,000 to 1,500 or what was it, 10 to 15, whatever it was in the math before. Again, it's, we said it's an extra 50%. Right? We're still doing the math again, so it's the same. It's the same evaluation. Okay, again, it's a big amount of money and a small amount of money. It's Richan. You need both. Right? You need both Mishnayos. Ditana iskaraba, if you were to tell me that a lot of money, okay, then not for shravacha, right? We said the reason the guy has to pay back an extra 50% because we assume he's going to do a lot of business with the money, with the cash that she's bringing in. But you might have thought that that's only if there's a lot of money. Well, let's get zuta, but if he only has a small amount of money, so then zuta ravacha, and he may not make so much money from that. So imalo, maybe he doesn't have to pay 50% extra. So Gemara says tzricha, therefore we need to tell me that. V'yesh mina niskatuva, and if you zuta, I'm sorry, if you only told me there was a small amount of money, so dezuter ziune. Well, you might have thought that, well, to turn a small amount of money into more money, right, doesn't cost so much, right? Again, to make money costs money, so you might have thought that he doesn't have to spend so much, right? Dezuter aval iska rabba, but if it's a lot of money, to nefesh ziune, right, again, he has to hire workers and this, and the other thing, he has to pay a lot of money, so MLO, you might have thought that he doesn't add 50% because a lot of it is, it's going to take him a lot more money to make a lot more money. So the Gemara says, therefore, tzucha, right, 50% is across the board. Okay. Achas mekabel lava sarah dinar the kupa. Okay, what's this 10% out of a money that he has to pay for a kupa? My kupa, what is that? Amar Rav Ashi, kupa shel besamim. It's her perfumes. So Tosa says, just one more line. Amar Rav Ashi, lo nomru dvarim halalu elab Yerushalayim. That was only in Yerushalayim. Again, that was the minik. And so Tosas over here just says very well. Right? He says, if you remember the Gemara in Yuma, that when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, the women did not need perfume in Yerushalayim because the Ketores was so beautiful, so amazing, it was so strong that everybody had, people walking around smelling amazing. So as I said, it's not talking about perfume, it's talking about other types of cosmetics. Okay, either way. Boy Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, one second, hold on. B'mana ha'nisham ha'b'mana ha'miskabel. When we tell me that's 10% of each money that he has to give for the perfume or whatever, for the cosmetics, is that each money, or meaning the according to the appraisal, meaning according to the evaluation, or according to the what is written up in the ksuba? In terms of lomar money miskabel, if you tell me it's written in the ksuba, the one that's written in the ksuba, so is that yom rishon or kol yom vayom? Is it every day, or is that just the first day? In terms of lomar kol yom vayom, if it's every single day, Shabbos rishon or kol Shabbos v'Shabbos? Is it, does he pay in the first Shabbos or every Shabbos? In terms of lomar kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, if you tell me he pays every Shabbos, every week, chodesh rishon or kol chodesh v'chodesh? Does he pay in the first month or every month? In terms of lomar kol if you tell me he has to pay this 10%, this 10 dinar every month, so Shana Rishon or Kol Shana Rishon, is that the only year? Is it only in the first year? Or is it every year? And therefore, and then the Gemara says, Teku, we're not going to answer that. Tosus says, what are you talking about? You tell me that the guy has to pay 10 dinar every single day, every single week, every single month, right? He's going to have no money. So Tosus says, no, the amount of money he has to pay is 10% of whatever the girl is bringing in over the life of their marriage. It just, the question here is simply is how often does he have to make the payments? It's not that, you know, he has to give her 10 dinar every day so she can buy a ridiculous amount of cosmetics, as we'll see in a second. Right? At some point, there's just a limit to how much you can buy. So Tosus says, no, it's talking about, it's just asking when does he have to make the payments, how often, what's the payment plan. Okay, I'm going to review the Marav. Ma'ez bebito shel Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Nakdimon Ben Gurion was a famous rich man of Yerushalayim. It was his daughter, Shapaskul Chachamim Arbameo Zehuvim Lekupa Shel Besamim Lebobayom, that she got 400 dinar for her marriage for a day. She said to them, Kach tif seku levnoseyem. And she said, okay, so too, right, your children should get. Again, different understanding of whether that was a bracha or a klala. She was basically, that was basically the amount of money, all the amount of money you could spend on cosmetics, right? There was no way for her to buy more. So he basically, that was not the right percentage. Rashi says that unfortunately her husband passed away, so he's trying to figure out how much the husband has to pay. Right? Again, her father-in-law, as we'll see in a second, was very wealthy as well, and that was not according to the 10%. It was much less, but there was simply no more money to buy, no more cosmetics to buy, basically. That was basically 400 gold dinars, right? Would basically take care of, you know, perfume for life. At some point, right, if you put on enough deodorant or whatever, at some point it's not adding anything to the situation. So she said, Amar Lahem, two different ways to understand, right, whether she was cursing them or blessing them. So too should be given to your daughters, also 400 gold zuz of Amar Vanu Achara Amen. And they said Amen after that, right, if you understand it was a bracha, so obviously, and if you said it was a curse, means she was upset that it was too little money. So I guess it was like a sarcastic Amen, that like, they're like, oh, if only we'd be zochet, right, that our daughters would get 400 gold coins for Bisanim. Tan Rabbi will learn the Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan Zakai Shaya Rochev al Chamor. He was riding on a donkey. Vahaya Yotzim Yerushalayim. He was going. He was leaving Yerushalayim. This was after the Churban. Vahaya Talmid of Malchan Acharav and his Talmidim were walking with him. Ra Riba Achas Shai Sam Malaketes Seorim Ibein Galli Behemtan Shalar Arviim. Rachman Latzlan. He saw one daughter, one girl, one woman gathering barley from the feces from the waste of animal of Arab animals. Kavishir also so when she saw him as part of Sarah, from the Lefanov, she covered herself and her hair and she stood up. Amrlo and she said, Rebbe Parnasani, she said, ask for tzedakah, right? Give me some tzedakah. So Amrlo, he said, Biti Miat. He said, who are you? So Amrlo, she said to him, Bas Nagdima Ben Gurion ani. I'm the daughter of Nagdima Ben Gurion, right? This famous wealthy rich guy. So Amrlo, Biti Mamun Shal Bes Avicha Hechan Halach. What do you mean? Your father was super rich. Where's your money? Where did your money go? So Amrlo, she said, Rebbe Lo Kedin Matlin Matzli Birshalayim. Melech Mamon Chaser. He said, unfortunately, right, they say the way they say in the Yerushalayim is that the Melech Mamon Chaser, that the salt of money is how it is either a Chaser or Amri Le Chesed. Right? What meaning? What keeps? Right? Salt is something that keeps. Right? They didn't have fridges back then. They used to take meat and salt it to keep it. So what keeps money? Right, meaning is chaser, having less of it, or chesed, or doing chesed, meaning either having less of it, meaning giving out to tzedakah. Right, Rashi says, if you want to salt your money, right, so you should give to tzedakah, or do chesed with it, meaning you should do chesed, meaning what she implied is that her father did not give enough tzedakah or do enough chesed with her money. So then he asked, "Ay, v'shalvesh chamich eichanu?" Well, what about your father-in-law's money? So Amrlo, "Bazav v'ibed azer." So yeah, my father borrowed it or took it and lost it also. So Amrlo, so she said to him, "Rebbe, zochar atak shochetem et al ksuba si." Remember when you signed my ksuba? So Amrlo, "Hen l'talmidim." So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Yeah, I remember to my talmidim. Zochar ani, I remember. Kishochetem et al ksuba when I signed the ksuba shalzu v'vaisi koreba and I read the ksuba elif alafim." Dinari Zav, I think if it's not an exaggeration, Elef Alafim, a thousand is a million gold coins, the base Avia, from her father, Chutz Mishal Chamia, right, aside from what her father-in-law was going to give her. So Bacha Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, V'amra Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai started crying, and he said, Ashrechem Yisrael, how praiseworthy Am Yisrael, B'zman Sha'usim Rasunel Shamakom, Ein Kol Umo of Elashon Shaletzbahem, when Bnei Yisrael are doing what Kosh Baruch Hu wants, no one can touch us. But Rachman al Tzlan, it was much Einos and Ritzon Shalmako, Mosrim Biad Uma Shvela, when they're not doing what the Kosh Baruch Hu wants, so they're given over to a destitute nation, a terrible nation. Velobia Ben Uma Shvela, Elabia Behemton Shaluma Shvela, and even to their animals, because she was picking through the animals' waste. Why is that Ashrechem Yisrael? So again, that's either because of the first line. Why is that great for Am Yisrael? Because either the first line, that when we do mitzvahs, we know Hashem will take care of us, or based on the second line, right, if a person is not in a relationship, right, the opposite of love very often is ignorance. Right? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu would ignore us and just not pay any attention to us, so that would be terrible. But if Hashem punishes us and tries to get us back on the right path, so that shows that's Ashrecha Mizrael, that Kosh Baruch Hu still wants a relationship with us. So just a little bit more, just because tomorrow is a long day of Agadata. I think it's Agadata. All right, I'm not sure. Either way, tomorrow's a long daf. Right? So just Nachdima Ben Gurion, lo Avit Tzedakah, but again, Nachdima Ben Gurion is not here to defend himself. The Gemara does it for him. But what do you mean he didn't do enough Tzedakah with his money? So Amru Lov al Nachdima Ben Gurion, they said about him, Shekai Yotzim Beiso Levesa Medrash, and when he would ever go to Shul, when the Beis Medrash, right, he'd leave his house for the Beis Medrash, Klei Milas Hayu Mitzian Tachtav, they would put out these kind of pieces of garments of wool under his feet. And the poor people would come and fold it up after him, meaning they would take it. He would walk on. They would almost like, you know, roll out the red carpet, right, full of clothing, and poor people would take the clothing after he was done walking, right? I imagine he would go many days a month to the Beis Medrash. So apparently, he would give all these clothing to the poor people. So either way, so one way of understanding is, yeah, he did that, but it was only for his own kavod, so that wasn't appropriate. Or some people say, lo avad. But he still could have did more, right? Whatever he should have done, he didn't do. Kedam Inchi, like people say, lefum gamla shichna, right? According to the camel, is the load, right? As Rashi says, lefich koch agamal yit inhu masa. Right? However strong the camel is, right, that's the load he has to bear. So again, being, as Chazal explained, being rich is not necessarily a blessing more than anything else. Right? It's also a test. A person has to do mitzvos with the money that he's given. And a person who's blessed with an amazing wealth is tasked with giving out amazing amounts of tzedakah, and he didn't hit that bar. Okay, we'll go weiter in the Hilgishas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.